We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark chapter 3. And we want to also thank you for joining us here also live in person. We want everyone to know that we are praying. We are taking measures to make sure that our sanctuary is safe. We make sure that it's sanitized before people come in and after. We're making sure that we're making sure protocols are being followed. So we make sure everyone is safe while they're here. So we pray for those who are still not comfortable with joining us. Hey, we're glad you're watching us online. So we pray for you as well that you're here joining us online so your presence is felt here. Even though you're not here with us physically, you're with us here in spirit. So we pray for you and thank you for watching with us. So be in prayer for us as we pray for one another as we glorify Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Mark chapter 3. We're going to be in verses 7 through 21. Mark chapter 3, verses 7 through 21. If you need a Bible or a sermon outline, raise your hand. I'll usher to get one for you. I want you to follow along with us as we study God's word together. Mark chapter 3, we ready? All right, and it reads as follows. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea. And a great crowd followed from Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and from beyond the Jordan and from around Tyre and Sidon. When the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him. And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. For he had healed many. So that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired. And they came to him. And he appointed 12 whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the names, it says, Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Then he went home and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." The very words of God. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us, for caring for us. Thank you, God, that your love for us, Lord, never fails, never runs dry, never ceases to amaze us. So, God, we just come to say thank you. We gather here, Lord, here physically and those who are watching online to say thank you. Thank you for your salvation through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come saying, Lord, that we are needy children. We need your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. Lord, we know, Lord, we're not worthy of it, but you give it anyhow because you are so worthy and you are so loving. And so, Lord, we are so thankful for that. Father, I pray, God, that you will speak to me, that I may speak to your people. That, Lord, we may leave here better than we came. That we might see Jesus, and that, Lord, we may be more like him. Lord, I pray for those who may not know Jesus Christ today, Lord, that they may see Jesus, and that they may run to him, Lord, falling down upon their knees, saying, "You are the Son of God, the one who brings salvation, forgiveness, and hope." Lord, we so desperately need it, Father. Our country needs it, Lord. We need it. We need your peace. We need your justice. We need, Lord, you to do a mighty work, Lord, here in our hearts, in our homes, and here in our land, and even in our churches, oh God. Send revival. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And I entitled this message this morning with a question. Are you available? Are you available? And hopefully by the time we end this message, you will have an answer for that question. Are you available? Jesus is continually going throughout the region, proclaiming the kingdom of God, calling men and women to repentance. And many are coming to him. We said last week, his fame is spreading. People are knowing about him. His fame is spreading, but also not only is the love spreading, but also the hate and the jealousy is spreading among the religious leaders. And the last time we ended our sermon, we read in verse 6 that the Pharisees and the Herodians had all come together, and they were trying to plot a plan on how they would destroy him and really how they would kill him. And based on their plot and their plan, Jesus now leaves the area and he withdrew with his disciples to the sea and he began to proclaim the gospel. He's constantly moving around, proclaiming the gospel, even though his life is being jeopardized, the threat to kill him. But Jesus is undeterred. He understands his mission. He understands who has called him and he's moving forward in that. And the funny thing about that is that Jesus did not do much in any without his disciples. He withdrew with his disciples. So Jesus was not a long ranger Christian. He was with his disciples. And we need to understand that us gathering together, us being together, is a biblical concept. We need one another. We need to gather with one another. We need to be in each other's presence. There's something about being in the presence of God because God says that where two or more gather in his name, he says what? There I am in the midst. But not only that we need to be in God's presence, but also we need to make sure that the presence of Jesus Christ is always in our lives because God wants to use us. Not only was he with his disciples, but he called his disciples not just to be with him, but he called them to do something. Every person in here, if you are a Christian, you have been called by God, you have answered the call. But not only that, you've been called by God and you've been called for a purpose. There's a famous book that was written by Rick Warren we did a long time ago. It's called The Purpose-Driven Life. That it's not about you, but it's about God, but that you were created for a purpose. That God has chosen to use you and I in human history for his glory. And we see that in the life of Jesus and the calling of his apostles. He called the apostles, the word means sent one. He called them and then he sent them out. And so my key truth this morning for us all is this, simply that Jesus uses human cooperation in fulfilling his mission of redemption and establishing the kingdom of God. He uses human cooperation in fulfilling his mission of redemption and establishing the kingdom of God. Now that's powerful to think that God does not need anything. Now I was thinking about this morning as I was sipping my cup of coffee, thinking about it going over my sermon. I thought, wow, God, when God created the heavens and the earth, he did not use anyone. He just said, let there be, and it was done. He did it. God did not use humanity when he created the heavens and the earth. He did. But God chooses in salvation to use human cooperation to accomplish his purpose of creating a kingdom community. Think about that. God chooses to use you and I in his kingdom building process. He chooses to use us. God wants to use you. The question is, once again, are you available to be used by God? Remember we talked about a couple of weeks ago when I said about people who are busybodies. Many people got convicted and began to confess to me after the sermon. Yeah, you talking about me? I just asked a question and y'all say I was talking about you. So many of us, when we think about it, you know that we can be very busy. Some people are just busy people. But I want to make sure in all of us that we do things, that we carve out some time for Jesus. That we are available to be used by him in his kingdom community, building his kingdom. Because I said a couple of weeks ago, only what you do for Jesus Christ is going to last. Do you know that? Do you know that you and I, we can be busy doing a lot of things. Listen, there's nothing wrong with a career. There's nothing wrong with raising a family. There's nothing wrong with trying to buy a house. There's nothing wrong with all those things. But I heard something this morning that said that all this stuff that you create and you try to build, you're going to leave this stuff behind. When you die, you're going to leave it behind. Now Solomon said that we toil all our life, and we then he says something. He says it, and we leave it to some people that may waste it. Just like we toil all our life to get it, we give it to our children, and they spend up in a day. It's gone. He said, you leave it behind for some fools. That's Solomon. Don't get mad at me. Solomon said that. Don't say Pastor said that. No, Solomon said that. Don't get mad at me. Don't throw your Bible at me. He said that you're going to leave some stuff for some people that you took your whole life to obtain it. And as soon as you drop dead, they're going to spend it up in a month. They're going to waste it. They say, oh, I don't believe. Look at the prodigal son. What did he do to his dad's inheritance? He told him, break me out some, Dad. And when he got it, it said he did what? He wasted it all. So I'm saying, be busy, but make sure that what you're busy for, that's why God says what? Store up treasure where? In heaven. So make sure that you're building something, that you put some money in the spiritual bank, that your money will meet you there. Spiritual stuff will meet you there. It'll meet you there. When you get there, it'll be there waiting for you. And guess what? The stuff you put in God's bank, it always pays good dividends. Amen, doesn't it? It pays good dividends. There's always a reward. So what I'm trying to say is that, yes, God wants us to be busy. You should be, but make sure that you're busy, that you're spending time building God's kingdom and not your own kingdom on this earth that eventually is going to fade away, that won't endure to the end. So God wants to use you. So before we get into the choosing of the apostles, let's do a little synopsis of what's happening in the Gospel of Mark. First of all, we see that the crowd grows. The crowd is consistently growing. We see in Mark chapter 3, verses 7 through 12, the crowd is consistently growing. Even though Jesus withdrew, the crowd is following him. Now, the crowd is following him. Why is this crowd following Jesus? Number one, the people come to Jesus to be healed of their physical diseases. They're coming because they have an urgent need and they believe Jesus can fulfill the need that they have. Now, there's nothing wrong with coming to Jesus just for a need, but I want you to understand, be careful. The warning is this. Don't only come to Jesus just for what you can get from him. Be careful now that you don't only come to Jesus, that he only hears from you when you need something. Anybody got any family members like that? Any friends like that? When that phone ring and you see that number, your pockets, boy, get tight. You know what's about to happen. They only see you, talk to you when they what? Want something. Now this crowd, they were coming. It was a great crowd. And they had some issues. And they said Jesus could fulfill their issue. It said so much so that what? They were pressing toward him, around him to touch him. I mean, in fact, they were not only just like here, they were so up, they were up and close, pressing toward him, pushing everybody, trying to get a hold of him to touch Jesus because they're trying to get there, they're trying to get healed. Now it says that they were coming to be healed from him. Does Jesus care about your physical needs? Yes. Does he care about your emotional needs? Yeah. But your spiritual needs are more important. Now, I didn't say that your physical emotion wasn't important, but I did say that your spiritual needs are more important than those things. And so we want to make understanding and clear that yes, God can heal you. God does heal people. God does heal you not only physically, but emotionally. But if you get healed by Jesus, but your soul is still not regenerated. We all going to die, right? The Bible says it's appointed man wants to die, and then the what? The judgment. So yes, you get healed, but you don't get healed. You don't get born again. It's only temporary healing. But once you're born again, it's eternal healing. Amen? As Peter says, by his stripes we have been healed. I believe Peter's talking about a spiritual healing, not just a physical healing. Because by his stripes we have been healed, what? Eternally. Never to be sick again. The crowd came because they wanted something from Jesus. The question for you and I, as we ask ourselves, when does God hear the most from us? When does God hear the most from you? Is it when you're sick? Is it when the money's funny and no one's laughing? Is it when things are going bad for you, then you call on the name of Jesus? Now, the good news about God, that God still answers even in the midst of our fickleness. Because the Bible says he calls the sun to shine on the what? The just and the unjust. That God is so good that in his sovereignty, God will still bless you even in your fickleness. He still will bless you. But Jesus never trusted himself to the crowd. You know that? You know that Jesus never trusted himself, that Jesus never was impressed. It says when the great crowd heard, he was never impressed by the crowd. And many of us, we are impressed by a crowd. We love the crowd. We know, we say, how can we move the crowd? Jesus was never impressed by the crowd. As a matter of fact, Jesus always tried to thin out the crowd because he knew the crowd could not be trusted. Because he knew the crowd, some in there only came to get what they need. And once they got what they need, they gave Jesus this, the peace symbol. So he never entrusted himself to the crowd. Didn't say he didn't heal the crowd. Didn't say he didn't love the crowd. He himself never entrusted himself to the crowd. But in the midst of the crowd, there were his disciples. We would call that a mixed multitude. In a crowd, there are those who come for what they want. But in another crowd, there was those who come in for Jesus. They're there for Jesus. And it's from this crowd that Jesus calls people from this crowd. It says in verse 13, and he went up on the mountain, and look what it says, and called to him those whom he desired. He called from the crowd those whom he desired. There's a difference. There's a crowd. Everybody in the crowd didn't get called by Jesus. Remember I say it was a great crowd, but Jesus never entrusted to the crowd. He called out of the crowd those whom he desired. And they came to him. Wow. Remember I say, if you have been saved, God called you. The Bible says he has called you. So in the real sense that when God calls us, that means that God wants you, God desires you, that God called you to himself. And he says they came to him. So out of this, out of the disciples, that's how we get the 12. He didn't call 12 out of the crowd. He called many out of the crowd. Then he from his disciples, he chose 12. So let's talk about the 12 that was chosen. The 12 that was chosen would be 12 who were disciples. Now they have been called to be apostles. They were called by God, desired by him, and they came to him, and he appointed them. Now, this 12 was a strange bunch that he called. He didn't call them because they were the most educated, the most qualified, the most well-upstanding people in the community. Lord knows Levi was not upstanding the community. He was hated by the tax collectors, right? I mean, he was hated by the community because he was a tax collector. But yet Jesus called him, then called him to be an apostle, a sent one. So Jesus called the 12 to be a part of his team simply because of his sovereign grace. When God chose you, he chose you not because you were the smartest, you were the most educated, the most perfect person. God chose you because of his sovereign grace. If you are saved today, it had nothing to do with you. It had nothing to do with Jesus. And that's why you are to give him praise and to give him honor and glory. Because he chose you out of his sovereign grace. Now, think about that. It says that the ones that he desired, he called, whom he desired, and they came to him. That means that the people out of the crowd, in order for, they had to be what? Available. And they came. So the 12 were chosen by his sovereign grace. Now, here's another warning for you and I. Like I said, don't be too busy to be available to be chosen by God. Don't be too busy where you're not able to be chosen by God. See, he appointed 12 from the disciples. Now, this can be a question, really a point here for disciples, for Christians. Those of us who are saved, you've been called by God. God's called you. Jesus said, many are called, but few are what?
Chosen.
See, I believe, I don't know about you, but it's like a sports, if you're on a team, don't you want to get in the game? I mean, really, don't you want to play in the game? I mean, there's nothing worse than you playing a football and your uniform as clean as it was when the game started as it ended. No grass stains. They ain't gotta wash your uniform. It's clean. And you saying, look what we did. You done drunk all the Gatorade. I mean, one time watching this game, I mean, a dude out there playing, making war out. He run to get some Gatorade. Ain't no Gatorade. The guys don't drunk all the Gatorade. And they ain't even playing the game. The Gatorade's gone. Don't you want to be in the game? Don't you want to say, put me in, coach? Now, I don't know about you. As a Christian, don't you want God to use you in his kingdom? Hey, God, here am I, use me. Amen. Don't you want to say, God, hey, God, put me in the game. Use me. Some people do. Some Christians do. Sadly, some Christians don't. They don't want to get in the game. They like drinking the Gatorade and watching you fight. Hey. Look what we did. Look what we did. You all blooded and tired. Look what we did. But they're too busy. They're too busy for the Lord. They really are. But they're never too busy to take credit for what God has done through you. Look what we did. He says he chose them, appointed them. Once again, don't you want to be chosen by God? Amen. One thing to be called by God, nothing to God, man, he chose you. The question is, are you available to be chosen? Hello? Are you available? Now you got to show up to be chosen. I mean, you got to show up to be chosen. And many people won't even show up to be chosen. But they was there. So he chose them from the disciples. And he chose them from many different backgrounds. And that's what I love about Jesus. The kingdom of God is made up of people from many different backgrounds. I mean, think about, you got, then he names them, old Peter. Now he said that he gave Simon, he gave him a nickname, Peter, which means rock. Now this is one thing for God to call you. Then Jesus gives you a nickname. Peter, Rocky. Then he says, he has James and his son of Zebedee, James and John, and he calls them. Okay, he gives them a nickname, which means sons of thunder. Now you say, what does that mean, sons of thunder? Well, if you go back and read in the Gospels, that he called them sons of thunder because that's what they were, a bolt of lightning. You get them started up, they're ready to scrap. No, seriously. One day he said that Jesus walking and this town would not let Jesus go in. And James and John asked Jesus, hey, Jesus, they're offending you. Do you want to call down lightning and burn this town up? They asked Jesus, he said, are you kidding me? No. He said, I didn't come to set the town on fire. But they went and said, you know, if they reject you, let's burn the whole city up. Now, I'm going to say this disclaimer. Jesus had a rough crowd with him. I'm going to use a phrase that you may. Jesus had some people in his life who was about that life. They were about that. They were. See, we look at the apostles, they were some Sauls. No, they were some rough, hey, they were some rough riders. Now, these were some rough riders he had with him. He had some folks, man. Peter kept a switchblade on him. Kept a switchblade up under his, close to him. You had Sons of Thunder. They ready to scrap. Anything happen, they ready to fight. And Lord, and this speaker, Judas, I mean, come on. I mean, he keeping the money. I mean, he keep a knot on him. He keep money on him. But it's not his church money. But he got some money on him, right? And Levi, technically, he good with numbers. I mean, he can take 10 and make it 20 if we need to. We ain't got to worry about eating. Give me 10, I'll be right back. I'm going to go flip this, and we're going to be ready to eat. So he got this crowd of people that are very rough ride. Now, we look at the apostles, and some trying to say, now, that's good news for some of you. Now, seriously, some of you are rough riders. Some of you about that life. Some of you got something in your purse right now that you ready to, I'm going to go, yo. But God loves you anyhow. He still wants to use you in his kingdom building. He still wants to use you. With all that mess you got, he says, come and I'll make you fishers of men. And then I give you a nickname. I give you a name of familiarity, a term of endearment. But this who they were. A bunch of people from different backgrounds, but what was their main thing? It was all about the goal, about Jesus, about building his kingdom. And that's what's so beautiful about the church, isn't it? That we can be from different backgrounds, different personalities, and different attitudes. And God said, I'll take all that and I'll mesh it together. As long as you focused on me, you'll be okay. And that's why I always say to church people, we always talk about the church. Man, the church is this and it's so messed up. I mean, you read about these apostles? How messed up they were, and yet God still used them? And what did we do? Oh, man, church is so messed up. I'm out of here. Well, you're taking your mess with you when you go. I'm out of here. Well, you're taking mess with you when you go. Because the church is full of messy people. But it is God's beautiful mess. Amen? Amen. God can take a mess and make a miracle.